From WNYC and PRX in collaboration with GBH News in Boston, this is The Takeaway with Melissa Harris-Perry in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
In Texas, dozens of men incarcerated in the state's prisons are entering the third week of a hunger strike, which began back on January 10th.
We're in week three now. They have made their, you know, their requests known to the public, and there has not been much in the way of conciliation or understanding or interest in changing their living conditions, which is what prompted this. My name is Paul Flav, and I'm the accountability reporter for Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
The conditions Paul's referring to here include the Texas state prison practice of solitary confinement for men who are considered to be part of a prison gang. Now, evidence of gang affiliation allows prison authorities to segregate and isolate men in conditions that these men decry as torturous.
One inmate wrote me that nothing's being done to correct the problem and that they don't have access to showers often. And one unit, I recall, had said that they had not been outside but three times in 5 years. They are not saying that they should not be in prison. They're just saying that their treatment needs to change. They're part of security threat groups, which is oftentimes a different word for a prison gang, are kept in restrictive housing where they don't have access to the outside. They don't have access to the general population. They are kept in there all day. And those conditions got dramatically worse, according to them, during the pandemic, and have not seemed to improve. And the Texas Department of Criminal Justice keeps about 3,100 men in this kind of captivity. And they say it's, you know, in order to maintain the order of the prison. They consider these prison gangs to be a dramatic security threat and a threat to the other inmates.
I know that you've been in communication with some of these folks. What are they telling you about their experience of the hunger strike?
You know, they don't talk about the actual physical experience in their emails to me. Mostly what they're talking about is why they're doing it. They seem to be really focused on the why of it all. And one, you know, just said, we are treated, you know, he asked if I had ever been to a kennel, and he compared their treatment inside to dogs. As you may not know, many Texas prisons do not have air conditioning, which can be a huge issue during the summer. And, you know, that was the comparison he was making was, you know, even kennels have air conditioning.
My name's Brittany Robertson with Texas Prison Reform, and I'm working with the men inside the units. For this to be done to maintain the safety and security, the units, we've had to follow the mail policy, which is not allowing them to communicate together unless there's a pending lawsuit, but instead they all communicate with me. And we compile the information such as out of cell time for that month or what state house representatives we should really target and focus on in order to get the best changes in the upcoming session. But we compile it into a monthly newsletter. We give them supporting legal documents. They've basically learned how to become advocates over the last 2 years. And the hunger strike is just a minor result of that. We're trying a multifaceted approach. So not only are we working to change legislation, but we're also working to change policy and the manuals, and also by raising the public awareness for everything that's going on. And then eventually we're going to be filing the lawsuit to move to class action, similar to the California case.
For Brittany, this fight is personal.
My brother growing up, he was incarcerated. And when I see being allowed to occur inside the prison system, and including to the staff and the effects it has on them, to be in a position of power and be so willing to inflict harm on other people, and then to know that somebody's paying you to do it, I think is something I should not be okay with as a human. They get put into solitary. It could be reasons as a tattoo. Regardless of how old that tattoo is, it could be a list of names found inside a cell, which, you know, could be anything, including gang related, but they choose to believe it's that, and they will send them to solitary confinement. And once in solitary confinement, You're not allowed contact visits. You don't get phone calls to family unless a loved one passes away. And they're just hoping to have some of their daily needs met a bit more, but also end the indefinite solitary. So some of the men on my team have been in solitary for 22 years, and it's on a nonviolent crime. So the deprivation, you know, eventually that man's going to be out and it's going to have taken its effects. And I think if in public interest, the best thing is to make sure we minimize those effects the best we can.
Brittany's role in coordinating the hunger strikes appears to contradict what the Texas Department of Criminal Justice says about just who is directing these actions. Here's Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav.
They have attributed the hunger strike to white supremacist organizers, potentially one in federal prison. They didn't offer any name. They didn't offer any kind of documentation of that. They just said our intel tells us. They don't give much detail besides that. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice is not known for its transparency and openness. It is not known as an agency that talks about its business. Oftentimes in the past, you know, it's been going around them. It's been going to the union that represents prison guards. It's been going to people along those lines. So what we know from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice is that they believe that there is, you know, something afoot that is less than apparent to what reporters are reporting, and that they still believe that these are violent prison gangs and this their threat to the order and stability of these prisons.
Brittany offered a different analysis explaining the actions of these imprisoned men.
The men have kind of started to go through not only the hunger pains, but they're also suffering from dehydration, sore muscles. There's mental and mood changes as well as to be expected. But ultimately, these men are willing to sacrifice their comfort for now. And some of them are willing to sacrifice it, you know, as their final act. In order to change the generations to come and how they're rehabilitated and return to the community, they're willing to go through this experience if it means changing something better for the future.
All right, we need to take a quick break, but stay right there because we've got more on the hunger strike in Texas state prisons coming up next. It's The Takeaway.
WNYC Studios is supported by Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/WNYC. That's rocketmoney.com/WNYC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
You're with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. And we're continuing our conversation about the hunger strikes that have entered week 3 in Texas state prisons. I've been talking with Paul Flav of Texas Public Radio about just how serious these hunger strikes are for the men involved. People die sometimes on hunger strikes. Is that at all a possibility here?
Absolutely. I believe it was last summer when they had a hunger strike. At least one person was hospitalized as a result of a hunger strike here in Texas. And I know that they had to get court orders to force feed folks in California during those hunger strikes last decade. So it's very much part of the hunger strike is the is the threat of hospitalization or death.
Now, those hunger strikes in California that Paul was referencing, they're part of what serves as precedent for what's happening in Texas right now. See, in 2013, about 30,000 people held in California jails sustained a nearly two-month hunger strike, which led the state to promise legislative hearings about jail conditions. And that hunger strike, it was just one strategy in a multifaceted approach to bring about change. At the same time, advocates had also filed a class action lawsuit, and that suit settled in 2015. At the time, it felt like victory. California agreed to end the practice of indeterminate solitary confinement and agreed to no longer use gang affiliation as the sole cause for relegating someone to solitary confinement. But all these years later, deep problems persist in California's prison system, despite the settlement. In 2022, a federal judge found continuing constitutional violations in California's practices of solitary confinement. And last September, California Governor Gavin Newsom vetoed a bill that would have further restricted solitary confinement. Still, Texas advocate Brittany Robertson takes hope from the example of how those imprisoned in California used collective action, legal action, and legislative pressure to make change in prison policy. And because, as she says, 80% of the people who are subjected to solitary confinement in Texas are going to eventually re-enter communities in the state, she thinks making this change is urgent. Because again, this fight is personal for her.
The state that my brother was incarcerated in, they provided him programming regardless of any affiliations. And it was through that programming that he is now an IT tech, and he works on tribal land. And I just know that what I see in these men, they're capable of that if given the opportunity equally.
Paul Flav, reporter for Texas Public Radio, predicts that making change in Texas is going to be an uphill battle.
I haven't seen any bills filed to address what these men have brought up. The Texas legislature went into session the same day these men went on strike. I don't know that in Texas, this is an issue that resonates with many lawmakers. I think the public cares about how people are treated when they fully understand that. And I think the more we report on it, the more they understand it.
Now, just a note here. We did reach out to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for comment, and they sent us a statement. It reads in part, quote, "If known prison gang members in state custody do not like their current confinement conditions, they're free to renounce their gang, and we will offer them a pathway back to general population." It's a long statement that we got from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, so we'll post the full statement on our website at thetakeaway.org.